すればや。オンナモバガバテワスデバヤ。オンナモバガバテワスデバヤ。We're getting close to the end of the 10th canto, and we're on chapter 90, which is a summary of Lord Krishna's glories. And we're continuing a description of some wonderful pastimes. So I think we're supposed to read through 13, 8 through 13. It's a lot of Sanskrit. I guess we'll just read it all together. Upagiya mano gandharvar mridanga panavanakam bhadhayad virmudavinam sutta maghada vandhidhi shichyamano chitastabhir hasanti bismarachakai patishna chambichikride Yakshibir Yaksharadiva. As Gandharva is joyfully saying his praises to the accompaniment of Mridanga, Panava, and Anaka drums, and his professionals, reciters known as Sutas, Magadhas, and Bandis, played Veenas and recited poems praising him, Lord Krishna would play with his wives in the water. Laughing, the queens would squirt water on him with syringes, and he would squirt them back. Thus Krishna would sport with his queens in the same way that the lord of the Yakshas sports with the Yakshi nymphs. Text 10. Taklin navasta vivriko rupusha pradesha Sinchancha udrita brihat kavara pashana Kantam smarat chakrit shayaya hoguya Jatsma smayalasad badhana virejhu. Under the drenching clothing of the queens, their thighs and breasts would become visible. The flowers tied in their large braids would scatter as they sprayed water on their consort. And on the plea of trying to take away his syringe, they would embrace him. By his touch, their lusty feelings would increase, causing their faces to beam with smiles. Thus Lord Krishna's queens shone with resplendent beauty. Text 11. Krishna stitat stana vishajita kumkum shra Krida vishanga dita kuntala vrindabanda Sinchan mohur yuvatabhi patisit chamano Raine karin ubir iveva patipataha. Lord Krishna's flower garland will become smeared with kumkum from their breasts, and his abundant locks of hair will become disheveled as a result of his absorption in the game. As the Lord repeatedly sprayed his young consort, and they sprayed him in turn, he enjoyed himself like the king of elephants enjoying the company of his bevy of Sri elephants. Text 12. Natanam nartakinam cha vita bhajau pajivinam kridhalam kava shanti krishna dat tashachasya. Afterward, Lord Krishna and his wives would give the ornaments and clothing they had worn during their water sports to the male and female performers who earned their livelihood from singing and from playing instrumental music. Text 13. Krishna shaivam viharato dat alaptikshita snitai narmakshveli parishvangai strinam kila prita dhiya. In this way, Lord Krishna would sport with his queens, totally captivating their hearts with his gestures, talks, glances, and smiles, and also with his jokes, playful exchanges, and embraces. So maybe someone would like to repeat this last verse. Number 13. Krishna Vaishnavis? Krishnasya of Lord Krishna. Evam thus. Viharataha, who was sporting. Gati, by the movements. Alapa, conversing. Ikshita, glancing. Smitai, and smiling. Narma, by the jokes. Shveli, playful exchanges. Parisvangai, and embraces. Srinam, of the wives. Kila, indeed. Ritaha, stolen. Diya, the hearts. I'll just read that one more time. In this way, Lord Krishna would sport with his queens, totally captivating their hearts with his gestures, talks, glances and smiles, and also with his jokes, playful exchanges and embraces. So this is a kind of a description of these wonderful, sublime pastimes of Lord Krishna with his wives, the queens of Dwarka. And it's something like a little peek into the private, intimate life of the Supreme Lord. I'm sure this would not compare to anything that you would hear in your normal church service. I remember going to church so many times, and this description would have been beyond my largest imagination to think that God did these type of things. But here it's something like, you know, every once in a while on the news you might see a little glimpse of President Obama in his swim shorts in Hawaii on his vacation swimming, you think, or else doing something, you know, and doing a cha-cha with some lady down in a bar down in South America. You realize, oh wow, this president, he actually is a person. He does other things besides wear a suit and tie and talk about this and that. So here we actually understand what God does in his spare time, what his intimate life is like, and how wonderful it is. And these descriptions, they should fill our mind. It's like food. It's food that we can put in our mind and our soul, which is uncomparable to the stale, dry, tasteless pastimes that are going on in this material world, even of the greatest persons. So we should relish these tasteful exchanges that are in all these different descriptions, especially in this last chapter. And in our hearts, these descriptions should be churning a more of a anxiousness for us to get out of this dull and ugly place and go back to the supreme abode of Lord Krishna. So if we take it in properly, that anxiousness will definitely come. So for me, all these descriptions, they confirm that Krishna really is the supreme personality of Godhead. Because there's such a variety of exchanges, and he's having this kind of a relationship with his wives. He has a different relationship with somebody else, and something different with everybody else. And this variety is actually the mother of all enjoyment, as Prabhupada said and other people have said. And so he is definitely the supreme person. He is not that God that we think of that's just, you know, bored sitting on the throne giving out judgment. No, he's actually a fantastic personality. So it also, I remember there's a book, I think Gaukanda has written it recently, and it's called Krishna, I think the God That Dances, right? I think it's some poems about from the Srimad Bhagavatam. And so this is a nice saying that actually he does dance and he does play water sports. He's competitive. He bites. He caresses. He does all these wonderful things. So he is our playful God, and he plays with all his friends of all different sorts. He plays with the cows. He plays with his girlfriends and his boyfriends, and has a wonderful time. And therefore, his name Krishna is perfect. Prabhupada said it's the perfect name for God because he's all attractive, because he has such a variety of activities that everyone will be attracted, no matter who they are. And so he has other names too. Many, many names. We sing them, and sometimes in the morning, even as Jayarada Madhava, the name Madhava, so many different names of Krishna which spice our life. I know singing Yasomati Nana is so pleasant. I wish we'd sing it more in the morning. And Divavarishi Shesha every morning in Vrindavan, all these different names of Krishna. Just start your day off right, thinking of all these different pastimes. The Leelas kind of spring out of these names. They're packed full of different descriptions of the Lord's pastimes. And when we had the ashram, we used to play a game when we'd be riding in the car for hours, and we'd say, okay, I'm thinking of a name of Krishna that starts with G. Nope. G. Starts with a G. Name for Krishna. No. Boring. Come on, think of some more. Come on. Nope. Come on, keep thinking. That's a nice one, but no. Nope. Give up? Gopishwar. I don't think you even said Gopinath, did you? Oh, there's so many names. You see. I will in a few minutes. Actually, see, then the person who guesses it, they have to think of a name. Okay, I'll think one real quick one. Name for Krishna that starts with a D. Huh? There's not so many. Dhanvantari. Yeah. Okay. So, what? That's the name for Krishna. There's so many, but that's the one I chose in my mind. You have to pick it. Yeah, you have to keep naming until you get to the one that I know. Okay. Okay. So, there's so many songs in our literature that have so many different names. I'd like to say a few of them for our enjoyment and for the Lord's enjoyment. He likes to hear all his different names. And they recap these different leelas. And so I picked some that have to do with kind of this playful mood of Krishna that's in these pastimes here. So there's Navanavarangi, which it means the connoisseur of newer and newer playful sports. Gopi Vasanahara steals the garments of the young damsels of Braja. Madan Manohar steals the mind of even Cupid. Sundara Bharatara, your beauty surpasses the best by far. Rasika, the true relisher of transcendental mellows. So the names of Krishna are very potent. I know that when I go on Sankirtan, maybe some of else you do that. If they're not interested and or they don't want the book and this and that, I say, well, at least can you say Krishna? And they go, all right, Krishna. And they get a smile on their face. And I said, see, it works. See, automatically it makes you happier. Just chanting the name of Krishna. One time I was in Spain, and I was in a chanting my rounds real early in the morning on a plaza, because they have a small temple in Madrid, and it was too small, so I went outside. It was like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. And I don't know if you remember, a long time ago in Scotland, they did this thing where they put the name Garunga all over the city. They wrote it everywhere, all over the city, places you couldn't imagine. And so anyway, I was in Spain, and all of a sudden, I see some people that had probably been up all night, some young couples, and they were sitting on a park bench, and they saw me in a star, and they said, excuse me. Who is Garunga? I said, what do you mean? I said, you must be from Scotland. He goes, yes, I am. And so, but they identified the name Garunga with the devotees. They figured that must be who it is. So you can see the effect of these holy names, just like sometimes on the football game, Phil Serrano would get, she got into this thing, trying to get them to say, you know, if you want your team to win, you got to say Garunga. And so these people would be at the top of their lungs, Garunga! And you could just see they were in bliss for whatever reason, but the effects of the name are so wonderful. They're full of enjoyment, just like Krishna is full of enjoyment. And so here, Krishna's standard of enjoyment is tops. I mean, it makes our so-called events in the material world as very pale and shallow and you know, not worthy of description as compared to here. And for our material mundane, you know, events, so much expense. You got to work so hard, sweat and blood, to get the money to pay for the rental of all the equipment, for the decorations, for the lighting, for the catering. All these different anxieties that you have to go through. And then, what if it rains, right? You got that a factor, you know, rains on your parade. But here, the wives and Krishna, you know, snap of a finger, everything is there, all facility is there. And yes, a little bit of payment. They throw their wet clothes to the singers and everything. They're happy with that. But everything is arranged for. And if there is some anxiety or some, you know, problems of arranging all these things, those problems are simply pleasure for the devotees. So we see here, even in our festivals, it's so much work to do, but it's all for Krishna's enjoyment, and therefore it's transcendental anxiety. But the opulence is amazing here. You can imagine this orchestra of out of this world instruments, things we've never heard of before, these different kinds of drums and veenas and all different kinds of rhythms and everything. They, throughout the whole thing, they're playing all during on the sides of the lake, you know, they're playing. So it's really amazing, the opulence. So much so that the Gandharvas and all the different celestial living entities, they come, you know, they hop on their flower airplanes and their flying peacocks or swans or whatever, and they come, even if they're not invited, they can't resist. They got to come watch these sports going on. And so it's all attractive for everyone. And so what some people might think, well, you know, I'm kind of jealous of this, you know. Krishna's getting to enjoy all this. But for the devotee, no. This is very befitting. This should be the most opulent situation for the Supreme Lord to enjoy. We should be giving so much wealth and so much of our pleasure, of different things to, for the pleasure of the Lord, because he is befitting. Who else should enjoy on this level? There's a nice description in the Nectar Devotion about this, about Krishna enjoying. It says, no one can be enjoying more than Krishna. The conception of enjoyment is beauty, women, ornaments, and riches. All of these were fabulously present in the palaces of Krishna, defeating the imagination of Kuvera, Lord Indra, and Lord Shiva. So this is a perfect description of what's going on here in these different pages. And we think, wow, this is like the apex of enjoyment. But then again, it can go higher. There's no limit. The next day can be even more pleasurable, more pleasurable. So we can see that even the Vrindavan pastimes, let's say, Krishna also has over here beautiful squirting pastimes with the Lord in the lakes there on the Jamuna. And that's even considered higher, higher and higher still. So we know that in Vrindavan pastimes, Vrindadevi is there to take care of all the arrangements. And she has the help of Yogamaya, who arranges all the decorations and all the dresses everyone's going to wear during these pastimes. And then, of course, Vrindadevi has the cooperation of all the moving and non-moving living entities. The trees are bowing down, giving the greatest fruits and the greatest flowers. And everything is cooperating. Even there's teams that are in charge of the different kundas. Each one is the bowers of different colors, color schemes of the different bowers. And then the some trees, they ooze the honey to have that intoxicating beverage that they enjoy during these pastimes. So it's a very celestial scene that goes on. And these events, sometimes they, like here it's describing, they're sporting with the syringes. But sometimes also they have fights with flower balls. I remember when in Portland, Oregon, Vishnujan Maharaj used to come and used to have a Pushpabhi Shekha festival in the park there, in Laurelhurst Park. And we would go around in the evening and collect roses, because it's a city of roses. And we'd have garbage bags, literally those 30-gallon garbage bags, for about five of them full of rose petals and roses. And we would, during the kirtan, all of a sudden we'd bring them out, and everyone would just throw them up in the air and throw them on the deities, and it was like it was the most celestial thing. Everyone would do it for hours. We had so much, we'd do it for hours and hours. And everyone was like intoxicated just watching this, of how wonderful it was. So during these times, they would have flower fights, and they would also, then they would get tired, so they'd rest. And during that resting time, they would be, like it's described in this last verse, joking and laughing, maybe playing some games with dice or something like that. And then they would have their beverages and then decide to go for a midnight swim, right? And then the players would still be singing and playing the musical instruments for their enjoyment. So there's a nice description in one of our songs. It describes this scene very nicely. Waves of beauty and sweetness are emanating showers of nectar in the form of their talks, which are filled with a flood of laughing and joking as they address one another. This is actually a description of the boat rides on the Manasaganga, of this lotus flower, and how they would be laughing and joking the whole time. So there's so many wonderful sweet songs. There's one very sweet song by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya called Sweetness. And in there, there's a nice description of some of these pastimes. His pastimes are sweet. His stealing is sweet. His love sports are sweet. Everything is sweet about the Emperor of Sweetness. So it can only get sweeter and sweeter. So there's another name for Krishna, which describes Krishna. Tribhuvana Bhuvana Nidhana. This is the treasure of all the three worlds. So of all the whole world, Krishna is the sweetest. So, but some of the pastimes you might think are a little cruel. Sometimes he leaves the gopis, or he harasses them to death, right? He jokes with them so much that they cry or they're upset. But this is simply to increase their love for him, and also his love for them. It torments their hearts so much so that it increases teasing them and strengthening that relationship of exchanges between them. And they're all new and fresh all the time. He's always thinking of something new and fresh of pastimes. So some of us may have been married for 20, 30, 40, eventually 60 years we'll be married to one person, and we're thinking, oh, you know, this is like eternity to be with one person for so long. And it might get a little stale or troublesome at times. But to think that we have eternal pastimes with Krishna for eternity. Forever we're going to be with Krishna. But Krishna makes it, don't worry, he's going to make it new and fresh forever and ever. Because he is ever increasingly joyful. So we have to be willing to hear these pastimes and with these glories of Krishna and not be envious. And if we do that, we can actually relish them. Because it's described, I know this is terminology, is called something without borders, right? No borders. So Krishna's qualities and characteristics are without borders. There's no borders. Krishna can swim at night, at midnight if he wants to, with all these gopis. He can steal, he can lie, he can harass, he can joke, he can be intoxicated, he can gamble, he can have illicit connection with the devotees, with his gopi friends, without borders. That's Krishna. He's the supreme person. Ourselves, we have to simply pray. For at least 2 hours in the morning, we should be praying, oh Krishna, please let me understand my position as a simple, humble servant. One who's supposed to give pleasure to Krishna. So we can remember some more wonderful names of Krishna. There's one, Ijavaram, the absolutely most worshipful person. Abhinav Jaladhara Sundar, O Lord, as handsome as a fresh rain cloud. So I'll give you, someone can think of a name of Krishna and not tell us what it is, and we'll try to guess it. But you have to tell us what it starts with. Somebody's got a name? Pushkar, think of a name. Okay, what does it start with? Okay, Keshav has one with D. T, or with a T. Tribhuvanath. Okay, keep, go, shout them out. That's it? Okay, who said Tribhuvan? Okay, then you have to think of one. Don't tell us what it is. Just tell us what it starts with. Time's up. Come on, think of one. Not too hard. Everybody be thinking of one. Okay, somebody else has one ready. Okay, you got one. M? Oh boy, there's so many M's. Oh, you got it. Fast. Okay, you have one? Okay, think of one. With a K. Keshi Sudna. Ah. You got it. All right. So, but actually you can see also the mercy that we have, because Srila Prabhupada established so many temples that it's like one big family. Oh, what temple are you from? Oh, I'm from Radhisham temple. I'm from Gandharvika Giridhari's temple, or Giridhari's temple, or Govinda in New York, or So we think, yeah, what family am I part of? I'm part of Radhisham and Krishna Balaram's family. So it's such an intimate thing. We don't understand what valuable jewels we have just in the names of Krishna. So much potency and love can be churned in our hearts. It's like Srila Prabhupada, he promoted us to the spiritual trigonometry and calculus, you know, department, where we have so much knowledge, intimate knowledge of the Supreme Lord. So he did that to encourage us, but at the same time he expects us to erase all the dirt in our hearts, all the envy and the lust and the greed that keep us from really becoming intimately related again with Krishna, that's keeping us from really understanding that we are the servant of the servant of the servant. So we have to be very thankful to Prabhupada for this process that we have of gradual purification, of gradually getting all the trash out of our minds. And that he gave us a process to chant 16 rounds a day, to read this Bhagavatam, and to engage others in service of Krishna. Because this is what's going to purify us. And then we will begin to relish like playing this game. I could play for hours, you know, of all the different names of Krishna, really straining our brain, you know, to think of all the different things that we know, we've learned and been taught about Krishna, and how much we should be inspired to give it to others so that they can also take part in these loving pastimes too someday. So anybody have any questions or comments? Or maybe we have time for a couple more names if anybody has any. Okay, you have one. Dharmaraj has one. Okay, what is it?
Yes, no, I'm saying that before I go to the name, I just want to share one that sometimes after hearing these pastimes, what as you described, it's the tendency that we can take things cheaply, that okay, you know, we can also be like that and be, you know, be right there. So I want to share one story from Gaur Govinda Maharaj. He was describing that he said, if you look on the altar, look at so if you look at Radhisham, you would see how like Krishna is all in his legs are folded, he's playing, it looks like, you know, he's enjoying and having a good time. But for us to get there or to get involved or understand those pastimes, then you have to look over at Gaur Nithai and see what their stands are. Their hands are straight up in the air. And so, in other words, for you to understand the features and activities of Krishna, you have to be very straight in Krishna consciousness. So look at Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and we have to be like that. Hands got to be straight up in the air. You have to be completely focused and understand. So anyway, there's one name of Krishna that I have in mind and it starts with a P.
A P?
P. Yeah.
Purushottam.
Oh, Hare Krishna. I know you would have the answer.
Pandaranda.
Yeah, we just watched that movie last week. We took around.
Also to remember that we really don't understand Krishna in full. There's a prayer by Lord Brahma, and it's in the 10th canto also. It's very nice. My dear Lord, the inconceivable qualities, beauties, and activities which you have revealed by your presence on this planet cannot be calculated by any material measurement. If one even tries to imagine Krishna may be like this, that is also impossible. The day may come when the material scientist, after many, many births or after many, many years, will be able to estimate the atomic constitution of the whole world, or he may be able to count the atomic fragments that permeate the sky, or he may even give an estimate of all the atoms within the universe, but still he will never be able to count the transcendental qualities in your reservoir of transcendental bliss. So we can't even count the names of Krishna. And so in the material world, the news is simply misery, suffering. That's what's trending these days, is misery. But this, in the spiritual The spiritual news, the headlines, is simply enjoyment. And we receive the greatest enjoyment by giving pleasure to Krishna. So this should be our mood. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Where is Srila Prabhupada?